Well, good evening. It's good to see all of you here this evening. We look forward to seeing more people here tomorrow. I guess Dad asked me a couple weeks ago if I would put together a devotional for tonight. And so he told me it could be as short as 5 minutes or 10 minutes, something like that. So not a very deep thought or one that we'll spend a lot of time on here this evening, but you can turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel. Sorry, John, I'm staying in ground that you have already covered, so I'm not stealing any of your thunder. I'm simply emphasizing, highlighting an area you have already discussed with us. So Ezekiel chapter 20. I've been reading through Ezekiel recently, and in thinking and praying about what thoughts to share with you all this evening, came across a couple verses here in Ezekiel 20, and a specific phrase kind of jumped out at me, and thought I might share a few thoughts that I have kind of centered around that phrase. So here in Ezekiel 20, Ezekiel is... In verse 2, it says, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, and so then he kind of launches into this long, I guess it would be a prophecy, you could say, or a word from the Lord at the very least. And he's kind of recounting the history of Israel. But for our purposes this evening, we'll just drop in at verse 18. So he's, the Lord is kind of, from his perspective, talking about the nation of Israel. So kind of jumping in the middle of their history there, it says in verse 18, but I said to the children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. Hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes and were not careful to observe my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. But they profaned my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the wilderness. And it's actually the phrase in the middle of verse 21 that I want to focus on this evening and kind of caught my attention. It's this phrase that says, which if a man does, and it's speaking of the Lord's statutes and his judgments, if they're careful to observe them, it says, which if a man does, he shall live by them. So it's this phrase that I'd like to think about a little bit with you this evening. And kind of my, if I had to put a title on this short devotional, it would be, why obey the Lord? Why obey the Lord? And so this phrase here, which if a man does, he shall live by them. In another translation, it simply says, which if a man does, he shall live. And so I think in some ways the thought here is that by obeying the Lord's statutes and his judgments, that at the very least your life will be preserved. We see, you know, we're in the midst of this, the Lord talking about the history of Israel, and we read even in the short verses that we read here that they didn't obey, and so the Lord poured out his judgment on them. So at a very basic level, why obey the Lord? Well, it's so that he doesn't pour his judgment out on you. And the Lord judges those who disobey. Obviously, his judgment can come in many different forms. Obviously, he can take a person's life from them, but he can also bring hardship and other things into their life. So on a very basic level, why would we obey the Lord and do the things that we know please him, do things that he tells us to do in his word? Well, so that he doesn't judge us, and so that we don't suffer for doing wrong and for disobeying. So it was kind of this phrase that jumped out at me, and it made me think of a passage in 1 Peter chapter 3. So as I said, at a basic level, we obey and we follow the Lord so that we're not judged for disobeying, and that we don't suffer for doing wrong. And ultimately, he doesn't judge us in taking our lives. But here in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 8, and I'll try to make the connection here, but we'll read the verses first. It says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So here we have this passage, and to me, seems connected to the passage that we read in Ezekiel, where if a man does the commandments of the Lord, he shall live. If he doesn't, he'll see judgment. And we see that coming up again here in these verses that we read. And so, again, this thought of if you don't obey the Lord, if you don't do the things that are contained in his word, the commandments and testimonies, that there will be judgment. But I feel like this passage goes a step further. It goes beyond that kind of basic level of don't disobey the Lord or you'll get punished. But it talks of he who would love life and see good days is the one who obeys the Lord. So beyond just kind of this basic level, it would appear that if we would like to enjoy life and see good days, that we would obey the Lord and his commandments. It doesn't seem to be speaking necessarily. I think a lot of times we will think of doing doing things that we know please the Lord in an effort to lay up for ourselves rewards in heaven. And that is clearly taught in Scripture. but I think it can also apply to this life. I guess I compare it to a lot of times, you know, we'll talk to somebody who's unsaved and we'll share the gospel with them, and you know, they might be in a life of sin, and sometimes they'll hesitate and they'll not want to receive the Lord. And one of their reasons will be, well, then I can't go hang out with my buddies and I can't do all this kind of stuff. Life will be so dull. Life won't be any fun. And we tell them, no, the Lord's not like that. It'll be the best life that, you know, don't worry about that. He'll change your desire for that and all these things. But at least, personally speaking, there are times in my life, even as a believer, where I have felt this lie of, oh, wow, well, you know, I could really have a great life if I didn't have to go to church every Sunday, for instance, or something, you know, something like that, some lie of the world or of the devil. That we think that somehow life would be better if we could just kind of do our own thing and enjoy some of the pleasures of this world. But I think from these verses we can see that there's a promise here that we will actually enjoy life more if we do the things that the Lord tells us to do. If you think about it, God's the one who created us. He's the one who created us created desires in us. He knows, if I can say this reverently, what makes us tick, the things that make us actually satisfied. And anything short of Him or of the things that He instructs us to do truly will not give us joy and satisfaction. And so a life lived obeying and pleasing the Lord will be ultimately the most enjoyable life that a person can live. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you won't have hardship in life. I'm not saying that life won't have its difficulties. But ultimately, your life will be, as it says here, you will see good days if you follow the Lord. And I think the interesting thing to me is that this quote here from verse 10 down to verse 12 is from Psalm 34. So it's an Old Testament quote. And I think when I noticed this here in 1 Peter, it stood out to me because a lot of times we think about Old Testament ways of thinking where do good and God will bless you. And, you know, that's not typically what we see in the New Testament. But here we still see Peter quoting this Old Testament passage and bringing to our attention that he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So here Peter is bringing these Old Testament words to us as believers in the New Testament, and is telling us to follow these things. And in the verses 8 and 9, the first two that we read here, I found it interesting. He tells us to be tender-hearted, to be courteous, to bless rather than return evil for evil. You know, these are not the things that the world tells you to do if you are to enjoy your life. What does the world tell you? Is look out for number one. Look out for yourself. Cut that guy off in traffic. You got to get there first. And all these things. And I think some of my point is that by doing those things, you don't actually get any enjoyment out of that. But here, Peter is telling us, be courteous. Be a nice person. You'll be happier for it. Is the point, I suppose, that I'm trying to make. But again, hopefully, kind of followed me in some of this disjointed babbling, in some ways. But you know, just my thought, I guess, this evening is that you won't regret a life lived obeying the Lord and following His instructions and what He's told us to do. And you know, may we live lives for the Lord and in obedience to Him and in a way that we are desiring to please Him. We won't be disappointed at the end. And I don't think we'll even be disappointed as we're living life either. That we won't really be missing out on anything. But the Lord will bless us for that. Again, it's not always going to be the easiest thing, and there will be trials that come in. But the Lord, He's the one that created us, and He wouldn't tell us to do things wrong. He knows us, and He knows those things that will truly give us joy and satisfaction. He wants good for us. So, anyhow, those were some of the thoughts I had for us this evening. Pray that the Lord would use things that were said correctly for His honor and glory. So let's just commit our time to the Lord then. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, even for these passages that we read here this evening. And Father, we pray that we might live lives that are pleasing to you. And Father, from a basic level, that we might do so, that we might not disappoint you and then suffer the consequences for it. But Father, we also trust you and know that if you tell us to do something, that it is ultimately for our good, and that a life lived in obedience will be the most fulfilling life that we can have. And knowing that it won't always be the easiest thing, but Father, that we can always rely on you and seek you through the difficult times, and that ultimately our greatest joy and satisfaction will come from serving you and obeying you. We just commit this weekend to you. We ask for those who are either still traveling tonight or will be traveling tomorrow. We look forward to times of fellowship with them. Pray for our time of fellowship even here this evening, that you would bless it, and that you would bless this entire weekend, our brother Sinclair as well, as he will be ministering to us. We again just commit this time and your word to you, and it's in the Lord Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Okay, we can head on over to the dining room, the inn, the old dining hall.